broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Either the school is intentionally agreeing with Aaron.
There's more to this story, you know, than what everybody's looking at this guy.
You're a woman. Yeah. If you saw Nancy Pelosi, who is, who's been vilified.
I am in shock. I am in shock.
Cuddle with me.
That is a threat.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go through the looking glass and take you to places other talk shows just, you know, they wouldn't dare, man. Coming up tonight, we've got Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and this year's top 10 videos on YouTube, a man claims Four Loko caused him to assault and rob a ninth grader. All right. Our affiliate spotlight tonight in Dallas, KFXR, 1190 AM, and in Bedford, Pennsylvania, WBFD. I said BFD. I said 1310 AM on your dial, and PhilHendryShow.com, of course, for all of your Phil Hendry Show online needs. Ted Bell at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Ted's of Beverly Hills. Steakhouse. Come on down.
Hey, this is Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and tonight a rare Monday night appearance. It's not Monday night?
It's Tuesday night.
Well, all right, hold on for a minute. I got to get the Tuesday night appearance here.
Well, we're into the...
I was going to say a Tuesday night appearance here to talk about the nutrition standards, and I do appreciate very much, Phil, you having me on the program to talk about this because I am, as you know, this is a restaurant. And we serve food, and I do care, very much about nutrition. So thank you again for having me on.
Well, what happened was this, and I'll just let our audience in on the fact that the president signed, and we talked about this a little bit on the Saturday night show on KFI in Los Angeles. President Obama signed a child nutrition bill, which was a priority for Michelle Obama.
Absolutely.
And Michelle Obama can, according to the story, she can check off top priority on her to-do list, the child nutrition bill signed into law by President Barack Obama, her husband, Monday morning, capping months of advocacy by the First Lady as part of her efforts to reduce childhood obesity.
Well, it is something that I do agree with the First Lady on, and I agree with her because we have, in my opinion, at this time, we have to. We are derelict as parents, and we have been derelict as parents for a long time. And I would point to a comment made by the First Lady where she said that if we don't do it, who will?
Well, when you say we, are you talking about the government?
Well, I'm talking about, when Hillary Clinton said it takes a village, I know she got mocked by a lot of people because she said, in taking a village, it takes other people to tell you as a parent that you might be going down the wrong road and you need to, change course and you need to head in a direction that's going to be healthier for your child. I think Michelle Obama is saying the same thing. She's saying, our parents need help. They have, for whatever reason, they have begun to put on the table in front of their children things that are going to kill those children.
And well, what do you mean by kill? You're talking about when they're
adults.
You're talking about their health as adults?
Absolutely. I mean, we're talking. I think the First Lady is saying, Phil, basically, it breaks your heart to know that parents that do love their children, there's no question, they are putting on the table in front of their kids food that is going to essentially kill these children before their 40th birthday. And when you think of stroke and you think of the liver and what the liver does, and I was thinking of the...
Were you talking about cancers and things?
Well, the impurities. And yes, the cancer but mostly heart attack and stroke. And when you think of these things and you think of a child suffering from something like this, even if they're 39 or 38 or 40 years old, it breaks your heart.
I'm talking to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills here about Michelle Obama and her support for a child nutrition bill that was signed into law by the President of the United States. Now, the First Lady, I think, was this the First Lady? Yes, the First Lady was heard on this, I believe, today, talking about child nutrition and what this means.
When our kids spend so much of their time each day in school,
And when many kids get up to half their daily calories from school meals, it's clear that we as a nation have a responsibility to meet as well. We can't just leave it up to the parents.
Let me ask you the question that a lot of people were asking, that this new bill could be interpreted in the future as getting rid of things like bake sales,
right,
and these pizza parties.
Yes.
Can you comment on that, Ted?
I don't think it needs any comment. I think the handwriting is on the wall at the bake sale, which I understand has, in the minds of a lot of people, they've decided that bake sales and this sort of thing raises money for getting band uniforms and getting athletic uniforms. That they feel it's essential, but I think that is a red herring. I think the real answer here, I think, is that bake sales are an excuse to cook the cookie and cakes and pies, and our kids come out of school. They're on their way to their mother's car. They're on their way to their father's car. They're on their way to the bus. They see the bake sale. And what have we done? We've just assaulted our children. We have assaulted them with something that is going to kill them. And when I say kill them, Phil, I mean very literally. It's going to kill them before they turn, 40.
By the way, that bill was signed on Monday.
On Monday, yeah. So the Healthy Hungry, the Hungry Kid Act is going to expand the number of children in school lunch programs. It's going to increase the reimbursement rate to school district for meals. It's going to replace all this garbage that the kids are outside the cafeteria and the vending machines and all of this. It's going to get rid of these bake sales and pizza party. And I got to tell you, I wasn't even aware of the fact that they had these pizza parties.
Yeah, they've had those for a while. They're kind of a reward, you know.
Well, they may be a reward. I thought that they don't raise money.
Well, I think the pizza parties raise money. The bake sales raise money. The pizza parties, I think, are a reward sometimes for the kids, or it's a study incentive.
All right, so what we're doing then is we are making a connection between you do well, and here is cheese, and here is something that we're going to feed you. I got to tell you, I feel offended that we are reducing our children to the level of some kind of a Pavlovian dog.
And well, you know, that's the thinking. I mean,
the thinking being a Pavlovian dog, or they?
No, not Pavlovian, but it is. I understand what you're saying. I think really what I'm trying to get at here, Ted.
I'm asking a question, if you don't mind, Phil.
Go ahead.
If you give kids pizza and you say, good going, and you know that pizza that you're serving those kids will in 10, 15 years kill that child with a heart attack. And where do we have heart attacks? We have heart attacks in the most lonely places. We have heart attacks in a parking garage. We have heart attacks behind the wheel of a car when there's no one with us. We have heart attacks when we're laying in bed. We have heart attacks in a shower. It's a lonely, lonely death. And are we saying that this is what we want for our children? You did a good job. You studied well. Have a piece of pizza and then die alone.
I don't think it's that dramatic at all.
Well, I don't either. I don't either. But that's the reality of what we're saying. And so what First Lady Michelle Obama has said is the following thing. We're not doing that anymore. We're not giving them cakes and cookies. We're not going to shove pizza, push the pizza in front of them. It's a new day.
And all right, now question. Michelle Obama can do whatever she wants to do, I guess, with her own children. Does she have a right to tell parents?
I'm sorry?
Does Michelle Obama have a right to tell other parents that they can't have bake sales, they can't have pizza sales?
Michelle Obama has the right, I'm not sure I understand your question.
Does Michelle Obama have the right to say to parents across America and kids across America, I know that you've enjoyed bake sales, and I know you've enjoyed pizza parties, and they do raise money, but now you don't get to do that?
Well, she said that if we don't do it, we can't leave it. Michelle Obama said we can't leave it all up to the parents. Now, I'm not sure I understand what you're saying.
Well, that line right there is enough to get some parents upset when she says that we can't leave this up to the parents. you know.
No, you're misunderstanding.
All right, well, tell me where I'm misunderstanding.
Michelle Obama is saying, yeah, you're right about this. She's saying no more pizza parties, no more bake sales. American parents have gone over the line, and we've got to pull them back. We've got to not pull the parents back, but we've got to step between the parents and their children. And I think what our First Lady has done is she has, in a very respectful way, she has stepped between parents and the kids in just this one instance. And she said, hold on. You don't get to do that to these children. You don't get to give them butter cake and pies just because you think it's funny.
And what parent gives a child cakes and pies because they think it's funny?
Well, whatever the reason, I don't know. But what Michelle Obama has done is what I think government needs to do on occasion. Step in front of the parent and get between the parent and the child and say, no more bake sales, no more pizza parties. Take a look at your kid. Look for the first time in your life with real eyes, not through the rose color of love. Look at how fat this kid is. Look at how big this kid's gotten, and you did it. No more pizza, no more bake sales.
All right, we're talking to Ted Bell, our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk about the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act, expanding the number of children in school lunch programs, increasing reimbursement rate, no more junk food in the cafeteria, no more junk food in the vending machines, and quite possibly no more bake sales, no more pizza parties, and as the First Lady said, we can't leave it all up to the parents. Our number, 877-876-PHIL.
And one other thing, Phil, the government clearly needs to get involved and stop parents from setting their kids up for an early death with this junk food, because the parents are not acting responsibly, because we're in a recession. They're working very hard. They want to do the best for their children, but they're also endangering their children.
All right, 877, that's a, but you just said a mouthful there, man.
Well, I can't lie.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Your call's coming up next with our guest, Ted Bell. Next hour, Don Mixa discusses John Boehner's constant crying, and we'll talk about that on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
And welcome back here to this portion of the Phil Hendry Show, brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. You know, we don't want bake sales in our schools, but I'll tell you what, a dessert at Ted's of Beverly Hills is a whole new experience in joy and happiness.
We want to put it in your mouth.
You're going to get it someday. Ted's always trying to hit that. It's what we call the donut, speaking of bake sales.
Right, and the hole in the donut.
The hole in the donut is the music between the singing. You're doing good. We're talking to Ted Bell, Ted's of Beverly Hills, 877-876-PHIL. Michelle Obama, a big supporter of the president's signing of the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act, getting some hot lunches. I all of this stuff, I support the hot lunches. You know, I don't...
Absolutely, Phil, but there are people that, you know, some people don't even want kids to have a hot meal. Can you feature that?
And I don't know that that's the case. I think if a child doesn't have enough food to come to school, that's just a disgrace. We can't have that. We can't have children going to school and falling asleep because they haven't had anything to eat. That's, you just can't do that. Now, let's talk about bake sales. Bake sales are a traditional part of the American educational experience. It's a traditional part of parents and students involving themselves in the life of the school. And to take a stand against them and want to eliminate them is to eliminate a piece of American family life, don't you think?
You know, I've heard that, and I think it's very dramatic. I think what are we talking about eliminating? When you get rid of a bake sale, you're basically saying to the parent, here's what you're going to do. You're not going to feed a cupcake to a kid that's already bigger than you. You're not going to feed a piece of pie to a girl a young lady of 12. She's bigger than all the boys in her class. She's got the pimples that girls don't want to have. She's big, and she's wearing a boy's size sweater. Do you want that for your daughter? Do I want that for my daughter? Of course I don't. The girls don't want that. But the mothers seem to want to do that to their daughters because of some issue having to do with the affection of the husband. For me, I don't want to get involved in any of that. What I want to say is...
Well, that's some pretty heavy psychology there.
I don't want to get involved in that.
Well, the mothers are keeping their daughters fat because of some issue with husbands?
I said too much. All I'm saying is... If you'll allow me, Phil, all I'm saying is, do you want your daughter to be bigger than the biggest boy in her class? No, of course you don't.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me get over to a phone call here. We have Christy in Mobile, Alabama. Hi, Christy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with with Ted Bell. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I'm pacing at the moment. I am livid at the idea that I am killing my children if I allow them a cupcake. I am so livid at the idea that the government thinks that they can step in and tell me how to raise my five children and that I'm not doing a good enough job. I put three meals a day on the table. And if my children want
to say you specifically, ma'am. We're not saying you specifically. I don't think the government is saying Christy specifically. I mean, if you feed your children well, you feed your children well. But at the school level, if you make a pie and you go, let's take it down to the bake sale, then you've stepped over the line, yeah.
No, you have not stepped over the line. I tell you what, if you would put your energy into keeping the PE program.
Michelle Obama and what she wants for your children.
But I've listened to you now, if you'll listen to me. If you will put your energy into keeping the PE programs, into keeping the programs that keep the kids active. But no, left and right, they're being cut. They're being cut because of budget cuts. We keep those programs alive through bake sales, through donut sales, through pizza parties, in any way that we can.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
How you get the kids up and losing weight. Do you want to tell a 12-year-old child that she needs to be on a diet so for the rest of her life she has issues with her weight? No.
Well, miss, I will tell you this.
What you're
going
to
do... Do you want your 12-year-old daughter to be bigger than the biggest boy in the class? I don't think she wants to be.
I have a 12-year-old daughter, and I can tell you... That 12-year-old daughters are going to go through weight fluctuations. I am not going to tell her that she needs to not eat a cupcake. I'm going to tell her, you eat one cupcake, you don't need to eat three. There's a difference.
My point, Phil, is that the kids, if you want to have all these programs for school and you're going to fund them through a bake sale, you're basically saying, let's fund these programs by committing murder. Because these kids are all...
Now, that's a very strong language, man.
Well, these kids are all going to be dead. Well, you're going to kill them with heart disease, yes. You're going to kill them with heart disease.
Okay.
You've got a big daughter. You just said you've got a huge daughter, and you want to go ahead and have another cupcake and make her bigger until by the time she's 30, she's in on a fat farm. If you think that that's funny...
You are classifying all children... into one category. You're saying that parents... No, that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. You're grouping all children into one category.
I'm not saying that all... Well, then why did you say that? You said that your daughter was huge.
No, I didn't say she was huge.
No, she did not say that, no.
I said, no. What I said was that children... 12-year-old girls go through weight fluctuations. She's going to change body shape. Between now and 17, she's going to be 100 different sizes.
Yeah.
I am not going to allow her to have a
what do you mean you get
an image,
well,
a body image problem.
Don't let her have an image problem. You're right. Don't let her have an image problem, except she'll have one anyway, because when she walks by her reflection in a storefront...
I'll give you an example. She's got a 12-year-old girl that's going to spend the night with her this weekend. When I asked her what kind of snacks they wanted, she said carrots because her Her father has her on a diet. This is a 12-year-old girl who should not be on a diet. And this
we
is
don't
what
know.
You're doing.
Have you seen the kid? Is she big? Is the kid big?
Carrots are great. But you're gonna tell me that I'm serving butter cake. And I'm going to kill my child at age 40 because
I'm saying that by giving that kid butter cake, think of the butter cake, that just equals big kid.
We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
877-876-PHIL.
It is huge.
Famous Phil Henry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. You know, the tenderloin, it used to be only for the very wealthy. At Ted's of Beverly Hills, we still have wealthy patrons, but we got you too.
Here at Ted's.
This portion brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. All right, so before we take another phone call, you were talking earlier about Michelle Obama stepping between the parents and their children.
That is exactly right, Phil, and I don't like that. I don't encourage that, but who is going to protect these kids? It's almost, if you want to be humorous, it's like the parents are throwing at their kids cobblers and pie wedges. And cookies, and who's going to stand? Who stands with the children? Who's going to stand with the children and say enough with what you're doing to these kids? Yesterday was Michelle Obama.
But what do you say to a parent? You need Michelle Obama protecting your kid because you can't do that.
I say that I understand, and this is a wake up call. It's a wake up call for a lot of parents in this country to say. You know, I've got a child that has a weight issue. I look at my child. I love my child very much. And we do have bake sales, and I want them to have the cupcake and the pie wedge that I make. And, a mother very lovingly wrapping a pie wedge in wax paper and slipping it into the bag that the kid carries. This is an American, moment. I'll tell you another American moment. A fat farm. I'm Ted Bell.
Okay, is that it?
Yeah, I locked it out. What I did was I thought I made a very good statement, and I locked it out with my name.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's move to a phone call. A very American moment is a fat farm. All right, Catherine in San Antonio, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Ted Bell. Go ahead, please.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
I wanted to bring up a point. I have a 9-year-old child who's very athletic, and with this new policy that she has already gotten some of the smaller communities to go ahead and cut the lunch portion sizes because the kids are supposed all overweight and everything, I have children coming home from school that are very hungry, and we're paying the same price as everybody else.
You can pack them a lunch. Mothers do that.
Have to pack a lunch, and they eat the school lunch. My child is not overweight, and I just think
have you thought about packing them more food?
Way too hard.
Why aren't you packing more food for them?
Well, my child does. I pack two sandwiches, an apple, and usually some celery sticks.
Uh-huh.
And then he still eats the school lunch, and he eats a bowl of cereal before breakfast, before he goes to school, and eats school lunch, breakfast. And he's still coming
home
from
hungry.
School hungry.
And he's still, I would say
yes.
The child needs a diet. Yeah, that kid needs a diet.
No,
why do you say a diet? Why do you say a diet?
Only 100
pounds. Oh, he's shoveling the food down. You're giving him lunch, and you're giving him breakfast, and then he's eating their lunch, and he's eating a bowl before and after, and you're telling me he's coming home hungry? This boy has either got a blood sugar problem.
He's gone to the doctor. The doctor says we need to feed him six times a day.
He's got a blood sugar problem. It's not the amount of food. It's when he eats it. He has to eat small portions five times a day. That's the hypoglycemic problem that he has.
He's not hypoglycemic, but we've already had him tested.
Then why did the doctor say five times a day?
The child is so active.
Why did the doctor say five times a day?
Because he's not getting enough food.
No. You got to... Boy, I don't know where to start with you. You need to pack him small portions of food five times, so he eats five times a day, and not give him those cobblers or whatever you're giving him at night. I don't know. What do you feed? Does he get a
What do we feed at dinner?
Are you
we
giving him a pie
feed
wedge?
A salad?
You give him
we
and wedge and a pie wedge?
No. We don't carry desserts in our house.
You don't carry
We don't
any
carry
kind
chips.
Of
in our house?
Any, cook any cookies, any cakes? What about...
No, we don't have cookies or cakes except for...
Moon pies.
For
Do you have moon pies? What about moon pies?
Moon pies, no.
Moon.
No moon pie. What about those...
No.
All right, I think the ladies answered the question.
Ice cream?
Child eats fruits and vegetables at least four times a day.
Well, it sounds to me like there's a blood sugar. I got to tell you, it's the kid sounds
no,
like he's
the problem is
it away.
That the government
he's shoveling
is
it down.
Tell me how I need to feed my child.
No,
when
you're supposed
that my
to feed. No, the doctor
healthy.
Told you. The doctor told you to feed your child five times a day. Are you doing that?
Yes,
I don't think so. Well, then there's something else wrong with your kid. Five times a day?
No, the child
lady,
is six.
How can you feed your kid five times a day and blame that on the government?
Old.
How do you blame the government when you're feeding your child five times
a
day?
Because
I don't understand
they've cut, I don't have a problem with them cutting out some of the stuff that they have cut out, but the portion sizes that they give the child, if you go into
well, then
any
give
of the
your
schools
kid
that
bigger
are carrying
portions, it. Well, then pack your kid bigger portions. I don't know what the secret is.
My problem. My problem is.
It is your problem. You don't
afford.
Know how to pack your kid a lunch. You can need
I
to pack the kid bigger
lunch,
portions.
But the family.
I would suggest
food.
In your case, I think the kid does need a pie wedge.
All right. Okay. Anyway, Catherine, thank you very much. 877-876 Phil, talking here with Ted Bell.
That lady's saying that the kid she needs to eat five times a day, so she's packing five meals a day, and he's still hungry. You know.
Well, I think you might have been right about the blood sugar thing, because I think that's a classic prescription for blood sugar five times a day.
Right. And she says that the government is not packing a... It doesn't, they're not sticking enough food into the lunch, so the kid's hungry. Well, then why doesn't she make bigger portions? Well, no, she doesn't know how to do that. And besides, she doesn't serve desserts. In that one instance, and one instance alone, I would recommend that she serve that child... She send that kid to school with a bundt cake. An entire bundt cake.
Very funny.
Well, you think I'm kidding?
All right. Well, it's obvious that the boy has a blood sugar situation. They'll figure it out. 877-876-PHIL. Cynthia in San Francisco on KNEW. Go ahead, Cynthia.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I'm calling in response to the.
All right. Now I got to ask you two things. I'm going to ask you two things. Number one, you got to get close to the phone and not muffle it or anything. And two, turn your radio down. Is your radio turned down?
My radio is turned off.
Very, very good. Okay, go ahead, ma'am.
I tell you, I'm so opposed to this legislation that was passed, and Michelle Obama does not have the right to tell parents exactly what to feed their children and when to feed their children.
Well,
I come
you just
from
heard
a family-
this last lady. You heard the last lady. She didn't know how to... She sends her kid to school with five meals a day, and the kid's still hungry. I think somebody's got to step in.
The children aren't hungry. I come from a Polish background. My mother made pierogi, made noodles, she made homemade bread, apple pie,
Polish.
Cookies, and none of us, eight
moon
siblings,
pie?
And none of us are heavy.
And, what about
and
the moon
Michelle,
pie?
Obama, Michelle Obama has no right to tell any parent how to raise their children or what to feed them.
Well, if you're not getting good nutrition, now you say your mother was Polish. Is that correct, Cynthia? Is that correct?
We're all Polish. My mother
all
and
right.
father are Polish,
you,
and we were
all right,
raised.
But when you say that you grew up Polish and your mother was Polish, did you not fear that you were not getting the right kind of food only because of you know, her being Polish and everything.
No.
Her being Polish and what?
The food. And
so she did know how to...
Michelle Obama is saying that the kids are fat because they ate cupcakes and they have all these goodies.
Well, they do. Now, you say you eat noodles. And
they don't get fat from that. I'm sorry.
Were you a big kid? I'm just curious because the Polish people are very...
I am 77 years old. I weigh 140 pounds. And
How tall are you?
I'm 5'5".
That's pretty big for 5'5".
All right, let's not get into whether... Yeah, you sound like you're very healthy, Cynthia.
Well, she comes from a Polish background, and I think that that's good and bad. It's good in that the Polish people are very hardy. Extremely, you know, very hardy people. But I'm not sure, did they know... Did she feed you a lot of potatoes stuffed in pastry, that kind of thing? What do they call that?
Latkes?
Yeah, did you get that? Did you get the latke?
We're all healthy. We don't have diabetes. We don't have heart problems. And we're all alive.
And yet you're 140 pounds and
5'5". I'm 77 years old, so don't tell me that Polish food is bad for you, because we had butter, we had sour cream. What I'm saying to you is that...
Did you butter your bread? Did you butter buns or anything like... Did you have a buttered bun? You did have...
My mother had homemade bread at her house all the time, and we had butter.
Right.
We had cream cheese. We had sour cream.
So you did have cream. Who buttered your buns?
All right, let's just forget about it. It sounds like she had a very healthy home, and what you're talking about, Ted, are homes that I guess are not healthy?
No, I'm talking about a home like Cynthia's, where it was nothing but creams and rich butter, and oh, God.
Educated
where? In Poland?
Were you educated? And we run our families likewise.
Can I ask you, Cynthia, were you educated in the United States?
No, just because she's a first lady, she's going to get to these mothers who have nurtured these children all their lives. She's a mother of two children. My mother was a mother of eight children. And
that she fed cream and cheese to. Well, she fed you butter. Did your mother butter? Did she just give you a stick of butter to eat?
No, of course not, Cynthia. No, I don't think we're saying that. I think...
What I want to find out is that doesn't Michelle Obama have the right to stand between you and your kid if you're ready to start feeding that kid some of this Polish, not the Polish food, but the with all the cream in it? Can't Michelle Obama say to you, no? No, you will not do that.
She raised her own two children and not dictate to other mothers. She's young enough to be my daughter. What I put on the table and who I serve a cupcake to or a cookie to.
You give cupcakes to just any kid?
Nutritional background.
Yeah, she's got a... Well, that's a very good point. So we're going to take a break.
Well, but I want to ask one more question here. Doesn't Michelle Obama, if her children die as the result of them eating Polish food, then how do you feel? And that's what no one's answering that. You see?
What are you talking about?
Michelle Obama feeds her kid latkes, and they're all rear-end up with a daisy in it. You'll thank me.
Thank you very much, Cynthia, whatever that means. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
What do you mean, whatever that means? I'm this lady, very nice lady, and the Polish people, God bless them. But all those creams and butters and noodles, just cream, butter, noodles, buns that are buttered from here to tomorrow. And you'd think somebody'd have a smile on their face.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with our final segment with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills and the First Lady and the Nutrition Bill. Are we getting rid of bake sales and pizza parties? We'll find out. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Man. Wow.
Phil Hendry Show.
You know where you live there, though, right?
Yeah, hold on.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we have... have our Italian, the closest we get to Polish food is our Italian pan-fried steak. And, of course, I'm kidding, but it is the closest we get to Polish food. We also have sauerbraten.
Do you really?
No, actually, you know what we have? We have a knockwurst with, we have a beautiful knockwurst, gorgeous knockwurst with sauerkraut. And the real good hot deli mustard that comes with it, you're going to love it.
I love knockwurst.
No, I know. But you told me you lived in upstate New York, isn't that right?
I did. I lived in Utica, New York for a summer.
And did you see the...
Oh, yeah. There were Polish restaurants. There was Italian and German.
And did you have any of the Polish, the way the Poles eat?
What is it with you? You know, I don't like the way you say that, okay?
What?
You like the way the Poles eat? I'm not...
Did you like Polish food?
I like it all, man. I like it all. Yeah, it's great. It's great stuff, all right? 877-876-PHIL. I'm sorry, Ted, but I when you were talking to that lady...
Well, I don't understand. She said that she was 5'5", 140 pounds, and she was healthy. Now, 5'5", and 140 pounds, I talked to Chris Carmack, who's a friend of mine. He's a structural engineer, and he's having a dinner tonight. And I said, 5'5", 140. What body type is that? And you know what he did? He drew it on a piece of paper for me.
What?
He drew a perfect sphere, a ball. He said, there you go. And then he went back to his whatever he was eating. I think he was having a knockwurst.
A ball.
That's 5'5", 140 is a perfect ball, a ball shape.
I don't believe that. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. Selena in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Hi, Selena. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell. Go ahead.
Okay, first of all, I would like to know where you can just assume where every kid is obese. My son is 14 years old, he's 6'2", and 120 pounds, and he eats constantly because he's hungry.
Well, of course, but does that mean you feed him an entire cake, or do you feed him a steak?
First of all, you need to back up because I have two parents.
If I were you, I'd feed him a steak from Ted to Beverly Hills.
I don't have sweets in the house.
You don't have what? You don't
have
sweets in the house?
You're her all sorts of stuff.
Her parents are diabetic, so she has no sweets.
Oh, no, I know that you don't have sweets, but then he goes to school, and guess what? Here's a bake sale. And so there's an entire rack of donuts.
That's where you're wrong, because the school that my son goes to doesn't allow bake sales because of allergy issues.
What? Is this some kind of a private school? It sounds like a private school, huh? Is it one of those?
It's a semi-private school.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like you got, which it's fine, but the problem with private schools is the parents all start thinking they're smarter than everybody, and I got into a fist fight. My kids used to go to a private school, and I literally one day dropping my son off. And I just hauled off and I socked one of these women, and I could have gone to jail.
I'm so glad that
you did
so
what?
Proud that you hit women, but you know
yeah,
what?
I did. I'm not proud of it. I'm
very
not...
healthy.
My good son God, Ted.
And yeah. My family are very healthy. And Michelle,
well, everybody says that.
The butt out.
Everyone so says that, but then
you're the last person to talk
what,
about.
What do you look like?
You know,
if you mind me asking you, what do you look like? And I don't mean that from a. I'm asking. That last lady was 5'5", 140, and we realized it's just a sphere.
You don't know that.
Are you a doctor?
No, ma'am, but I have a structural engineer who's eating liver.
I am 110 pounds and 5'1". I'm exactly where my doctor told me I need to be.
Too big. Yeah, that's too big.
No, that's too big. She's 5'1", 110 pounds.
I dated.
That's exactly where my doctor told me I need to be.
I dated a cosmopolitan model that was 5'6" and 110 pounds. She was perfect.
Oh, perfect for what? Ethiopia?
Nothing.
Perfect for Somalia? Good Lord.
How dare you? You're being racist?
What do you mean racist?
She was black.
Ted, I don't know that she's black. All I'm saying is 5'6", 110 pounds. Well, Selena, you're a woman. Doesn't that sound a little unhealthy to you?
That is
does
very
to me.
Unhealthy.
That oh, yeah,
unhealthy.
Because... you'd say that because you're busy, you know, you're busy larding up the cookie sheet.
You know, the thing is, you know what, you're the last person that needs to be talking about health, seeing as you're the one that runs a restaurant. Don't
steakhouse.
Eat butter and cream and such like that. Pan-fried steak is not exactly healthy, my dear.
Well, ma'am, can I tell you, we pan fry it in garlic that has been liquefied. We slice up the garlic and it becomes liquid in the pan. That's what we fry it in. Oh, yeah. Got you on that one, didn't we? Got you on that one.
Oh, crap. You better put your boots on.
That's what you cook in. I know. What's that? I'm telling you, we serve only the finest cuts of beef. Do we use lard? Of course we do. Of course we use lard.
You know, but at the same token, you know, like I said, you're running a restaurant. Right. It's not exactly going to be healthy.
Well, ma'am, these days running a restaurant, well, you know, forget it. You know, how am I going to talk to a woman who right now is using her fingers to lard up a cookie sheet?
She just got done telling you that she doesn't have sweets in the house. Look at Selena. Thank you so much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go on to Jeff in Raleigh, North Carolina. Go ahead, sir.
I just don't think it's possible.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I'll just make it sweet to the point. I don't understand. It's nobody's business what I do or don't feed my children. Nobody's business. And I don't understand
you
this guy's dead. I don't understand you feel like it's somebody's, the government's right to step in. It doesn't matter what I feed them. It's nobody's business. Nobody.
What if you feed? What if you don't feed them at all? Is that anybody's business?
Do you think I'm not going to feed?
That's a simple answer. That's a simple yes or no. If you don't feed them, is that anybody's business?
It's nobody's business until if it comes.
If you starve your children, it's no one's business but yours. What a
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I am in shock.
That is so dirty, man. That is dirty, man. Come on.
I can't go to a school anymore. I used to go to a lot of schools. I see all these little...
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and News Talk and Entertainment Show that knows what it's talking about. And through the looking glass, we will take you to places other talk shows cannot. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And we're online at philhendryshow.com. And if you would like a classic best of CD, we have all of our classic best of CDs up for sale in our online shop now at philhendryshow.com. What a great way to say you love someone. I don't know. But well, it's a nice way to say you love a Phil Hendry fan in your life. So go to our website, philhendryshow.com. Click on shop, I think, or store, or shop store, or store shop. And you'll see a collection of our classic best of CDs. And, hey, man, you know, load up for Christmas time. 877-876-PHIL. And Barbara Walters mocks John Boehner for breaking down during a 60-minute interview. Don Mix is going to join us this hour. To talk about that, Mr. Mixa is a professor of engineering at the University of Washington. But first, we would like to give you a little background on the story. Ex-House Speaker, to be, I should say, John Boehner, already has his share of attacks coming from the White House and from Democrats on Capitol Hill. But he may want to watch out for incoming from the ladies of ABC's The View during a Hot Topics segment on daytime talk show on Monday. The discussion turned to Boehner's appearance on Sunday night's 60 Minutes, in which the congressman from Ohio repeatedly held back tears as he talked about growing up with 11 brothers and sisters, about his refusal to visit school because of the emotion he feels for the future kids of America.
I can't go to a school anymore. I used to go to a lot of schools. You see all these little kids running around. Can't talk about it.
Why?
Making sure that these kids have a shot at the American dream, like I did, it's important.
On the View, Barbara Walters says Boehner's got some real problems.
I can't go to a school anymore.
Wait a minute, that's number two theory.
But this guy has an emotional problem. That every time he talks about anything that's not raise taxes, he cries. And if this.
And here, Walters compares Boehner and Pelosi on the subject of crying.
This poor woman. Yes. If you saw Nancy Pelosi, who is, I mean, you know, who's been vilified, and I'm not taking sides, I'm only talking about...
Of course not.
If you saw her getting up and crying, if you had seen Nancy Pelosi all these past years crying, what would you say?
She's weak.
The woman has
she can't
a problem.
Handle the pressure.
She shouldn't have... So,
no,
I mean, go back to him. I hope he's a good speaker of the House.
Well, you know what's
he's
ironic?
Got a problem.
All right, so Don Mixa joining us from the University of Washington. Don, I understand that you had some problems as well. Can you tell us about it?
Oh, well, it wasn't quite the problems Phil that Speaker Boehner, I should say, had. But we had a little bit of a contretemps here, and it got settled.
What happened?
Well, I basically had brought up the John Boehner appearance on 60 Minutes to a political science class that I was helping out with, and I said that Boehner was, I made a comparison of Boehner to a crying female dog, and I said he was a crying little female dog, and I was immediately called by the administration for a academic or administrative warning, which basically means that I cannot teach my class the next day. Well, we weren't going to give them the satisfaction of suddenly me being shut out of my class the next day. So I walked out of the class I was teaching, and I was very gratified to have some 50. I wasn't counting them, but my understanding was we had about 50 to 100 kids that followed me. Native students followed me out across the quad area to the parking lot, to the faculty parking. And there was a picture of me in the daily the campus newspaper where I'm pumping my fist in the air. I thought it was a little... I thought it was a pretty good shot, and it was a very iconic shot, I guess, even campus life and what a lot of us stand for.
So you called him a crying, I will say the word, was it bitch?
Yeah, I called him a crying. Well, I wasn't sure whether or not you wanted to go in, and I don't know if your radio show can, you're allowed to do that, but we have a certain amount of freedom in the academic world, and I did at that time exercise my constitutional right to a freedom of speech and said to my class that, how do you like this little crying, B-I-T-C-H?
Well, if you said it in front of the class, you can say it here on the show.
Well, I have no fear of saying it. I have no fear of saying it, but out of respect to you and your audience, I won't say it.
No, I think that if you called John Boehner in front of your class a crying little bitch because he cried on the 60 Minutes show, and you know, and Barbara Walters ripped into him pretty good here.
Well, Phil, I know your feelings about conservatives. You like to be fair with them. And
I like to be fair with everybody. I mean, I what I like to know is the truth of the moment.
Yeah, no, I've heard you hold forth on what you consider to be truth. No, I'm very comfortable with what I call John Boehner. He's a crying little bitch.
And all right. Well, okay, so you just said it there.
Well, if I did say it, I apologize.
Well, no, if you said it in front of the class...
I did not mean to say it on your program, though. It's my intention.
Why not? Why not? If you said it in front of the class, why wouldn't you say it on the show?
I just, out of respect to you and your audience...
No, if I'm telling you it's all right, I'm speaking on behalf of my... I can't speak on behalf of my audience, but I can speak on behalf of my show, and anyone that's listening will understand that I say it's all right. Why don't you want to say the bitch word?
I said what I said, and I walked out of class. If you saw the cover of the campus newspaper, you saw a picture of me with my pumping my fist in the air. It was an iconic moment. And, okay, I'll say it. He's a bitch. He's a crying little bitch. And, I'm not afraid of saying it. I just, I think discretion being the better part of valor. I think that what John Boehner does, I think, when he cries like that is he shows us that even though he is a hard-bitten conservative, these guys are such, warmongering, kind of gunslinging, Wild West kind of guys. And there he is crying, And I said to the class, I go, look at this little, I held up a picture of him, and I said, hey, can anybody see 60 Minutes?
I just want to look. Can I interrupt you? You're teaching a class on what?
When I said that John Boehner's a crying bitch?
Yeah.
It was a political science class that I was filling in on, but I said, did anybody see this crying little bitch? And everyone laughed. And, Well, it turns out one of the students reported me to administrative liaisons, and this girl, she is a girl, reported me and said that I had said crying little bitch. Now, I was talking about, and here's a female, and as a progressive, I support women. I know I used the term bitch, but I wasn't talking about her. I was talking about him.
But that's a term that's used to describe some women.
It's used, among progressives, it's used to describe women of means, women who have money, among progressives, among liberals. So we would never use that word when we talk about a working woman or a woman as a student.
All right, 877-876-PHIL here on the Phil Hendry Show is our number, and we're talking about the appearance of John Boehner on the 60 Minutes show. Don Mixa here was in front of his class and called John Boehner a crying little bitch. This was right. Did you see The View?
I did not see The View, but I am a big admirer of Barbara Walters. I think she hit it right on the head. And, you know, touche, or, you know, way to do it, Barbara. I thought it was pretty amazing. That was a pretty amazing moment.
Now, let's get back to you getting this administrative warning, which basically means you can't teach your class for tomorrow. Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah.
All right. You were given the administrative warning because one of your students, a female, reported your comment. They gave you this warning and suspended you from one day of teaching, and you decided you'd walk off the class you were teaching in today as well.
That is correct. We weren't going to give them the satisfaction of feeling like they are the ones that are dictating what I'm going to do from one day to the next. So I just said, you know what, I'm out of here. You know, and I kind of, you know, and they clapped. Everyone clapped, and I, as I walked out, I realized, you know, that the kids were drawn to me. I mean, they were drawn to what I said. I called Boehner a crying little bitch, and they were drawn to me because of my honesty, and they followed me. And I turned around, and I had probably 100 to 200 kids, and suddenly we've got ourselves a movement. And I kind of, you know, pumped my fist in the air and gave the D sign and pushed my hair away from my forehead, and, you know, I was a little embarrassed.
I saw the picture of you, and I don't mean to say anything, but are you not bald?
No, I'm not bald. I don't know why you would say that, Phil.
I'm seriously, there's on the very top?
On the top of my head, yeah. But I the reason why you would say that is because you feel that you don't like what I did, and you want to embarrass me personally.
No, when you said you pushed the hair away from your face, I thought you said you're bald.
I wear a ponytail, and it is braided. And a lot of people, it angers a lot of men who don't have hair. And
well, there's a lot of guys who are bald on top and still wear a ponytail. Isn't that what you do?
No, that's not what I do. I am, I'm thinning on top. I'm thinning on top. But I have a ponytail that I braid. But that's beside the point. You know,
no, I just, when you said you pushed your hair away from your face, I...
No, here's what I... Let me tell you what I did. I called John Boehner a crying little bitch. I was reported by this woman who... I'm a progressive, and why she would report a progressive who stands for women's rights, I don't understand. I was given an administrative warning. I walked off the class. I had 200 to 300 kids following me to my car. Think about that. 200 to 300 kids who felt solidarity with me because I had finally spoken the truth and said that John Boehner was a little crying bitch. I pumped my fist in the air twice, gave the peace sign, and yes, I have long hair, and I think they've got a problem with that. I think they got an issue with that, my long hair. And that's too bad because, you know, I mean what I said. I think that John Boehner crying on TV is a disgrace because he's supposed to represent the big, bad war machine. And there he is all weeping like a woman, like a bitch.
A woman?
No, I said a bitch, not a woman.
No, that's what a woman is constantly called, though, by some men in a derogatory fashion.
I did not mean a woman. I meant a bitch.
Is not a bitch a woman?
A bitch... From a progressive standpoint, is a rich woman. That's what I meant. Boehner is crying like a rich woman.
Okay, 877-876-PHIL. As we talk here to Don Mixer from the University of Washington, was John Boehner a crying little bitch on 60 Minutes? Was he a man who can talk tough and he's a big badass conservative, but he's weeping like a woman or a bitch, in the words of Don Mixer, a bitch being a rich woman? And by the way, Mr. Mixer was given administrative warning. He was kicked out of at least one class. And he claims to then have walked to his car. A picture was taken for the campus newspaper. He says he had 300 kids following behind him. I can't tell from this photograph. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Should John Boehner butch up and act tougher and not cry on TV? After all, the guy is a conservative. 877-876-PHIL. Back with Don Mix on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on this Tuesday night. With me, Don Mixer from the University of Washington, a engineering professor, although he was in a political science class yesterday when he said to his class, John Boehner cried on 60 Minutes like a little bitch. And John Boehner was, in point of fact, mocked on The View for crying. You, Professor Mixer, said that you were, that you were given an administrative warning. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct, right? And I was forced to, you know, out of the classroom on today, and I walked out early. My students need to know, though, Phil.
Well, hold on. I just want to, so that you were given this administrative warning, and you walked off campus, and you say you had 300 kids following you.
That is correct. And I, if I could, my students need to know that conservative war, you know, if you're a John Boehner, and you are a conservative, and you're talking about cutting taxes and cutting this, cutting that, cutting something else, you know. And then you get out on TV and you cry. I think it shows that you're not as tough as, you know, you'd like people to think you are. And the school should not stop me from expressing the belief that John Boehner is a crybaby. Cried like a, you know, I said it like a bitch.
And that's the other thing.
Well, Phil, you want to make an issue out of that.
No, that's the other. I just wanted, when you say cried like a bitch, now, John Boehner's a conservative. He shouldn't cry. But you're a progressive. Should you call a woman a bitch?
I didn't call a woman a bitch.
No, but I mean, should you compare anybody to a bitch, meaning a woman?
Yeah, that's not what I did.
Well, didn't you call, you called Boehner a crying little bitch. Isn't that calling him a crying woman? Isn't that calling John Boehner, mocking him by calling him a woman, and not a very nice name for a woman?
What I did was, now let me explain this to you, because I think you're getting ahead of the ball here.
No, you can explain it to me, but I don't think I'm getting ahead of anything.
Let me explain it. I called John Boehner, I'm a progressive. I don't believe in calling women names, and I don't think there's a progressive out there that would appear, that would approve of calling any woman a bitch. I don't do it. That's something I think our conservative colleagues across the aisle might do, but we don't. What our conservative colleagues do is call for more war against the people of Afghanistan and Iraq, more war against the poor people of the world, and yet they cry, showing themselves to be weak. I called Boehner a crying little bitch, but not because of being a... Not because of
See, you are getting caught here.
No, I'm not getting caught. I called Boehner a crying bitch.
You called him a crying bitch, meaning he's crying like a woman.
A wealthy woman is what I meant by bitch. A wealth. And I don't want people to think now that I think wealthy women are not women. They are women, but they are the ones that I call a bitch. John Boehner cried like a bitch, and that means like a wealthy woman. Now, the other point that I wanted to make, while you're talking here, Phil, conservatives have no right to cry, given that their views are so anti-humanity, anti-peace, and anti-American. The school should embrace me for speaking out against John Boehner and other warmonger Republicans. They shouldn't punish me. That's the point. But you're focusing on the term bitch for political points that you want to... score with your, you know, conservative listeners.
No, I'll tell you, Don, what I'm looking to do here is just get you to define terms. Now, you have called John Boehner a bitch.
If you could, let's listen one more time here to what he said.
I can't go to a school anymore. I used to go to a lot of schools. And you see all these little kids running around.
You hear that?
Can't talk about it.
Why?
Isn't that a disgrace?
No, it's not a disgrace. The man's emotional.
Making sure that these kids have a shot at the American dream.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Is he kidding? You got to be kidding me. That was John Boehner, Mr. This is a guy that presumed to go up to Barack Obama and say, hey, look, boy, we have a...
He never went up to Barack Obama and said, hey, look, boy.
No, he did. He did not, but it was the clear intent of Boehner and the conservative caucus when they had Obama in for that Q&A to intimidate him. I remember when he walked up to Obama and he had a list of the conservative program and he wanted to say, you know, in your spare time, boy.
He didn't say anything of the sort, and you can't put those words into his mouth. You may think that's what he's thinking. And I suppose you're entitled to that, but you got to base it on something.
I base it on the fact. What is it with you, Phil?
Let me tell you what's with it with me. What I want to hear is some substance. You're saying that this guy cried, and it's a disgrace because he's a conservative.
Because he is a warmongering conservative, yes, and they like to talk like they're tough. Well, listen to how tough he is. Listen.
Right? I can't go to a school anymore.
I want you to listen to this.
I'm listening.
You see all these little kids running around. Can't talk about it.
Why?
Even though there's a woman there who's saying to him, why? My God, you're more feminine than I am.
That listen. These kids have a shot at you.
Watch him rant. Completely fall apart. Watch.
My God. It's important.
He collapsed.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. You know, Don Mixa joining us. You know, Don, I'm telling you, you are telling me all about John Boehner being a conservative, so he shouldn't be crying.
I'm not telling you about John Boehner. I'm showing you John Boehner.
No, you don't have to show me John Boehner. I saw John Boehner. And that's fine. And you can tell me about John Boehner crying, and somehow that's hypocritical. Isn't that just a very emotional man?
No, it's not an emotional man. It's a man that is portray to the American people. It's a man that does not have the, excuse me for saying it, he doesn't have the cojones, you know, that he tries to portray to the American people. He tries to sound tough. He tries to sound, you know, and he got up on the, this is a 60 minute, is that what that was?
Yeah. So you didn't watch it?
I heard about it.
Well, then you didn't even watch it? You don't even know what happened?
Yes, I do know what happened. He cried like a
go ahead, say the word.
He cried like a bitch.
He cried like a rich woman.
No, he cried like a bitch.
But that's what you call a rich woman, a bitch.
I'll tell you this much. I was married to a woman who had her own money. And I wasn't treated very well. So I think I'm speaking from...
experience?
Yes, I am. I was not treated very well by a woman that had money. And I was divorced from her, and I did not get any spousal support. So, no, I don't like rich women. But you've tried to make this about me. And I'm telling you that when Boehner cried, I had a... I don't know what to call it, but I felt so good to see that guy cry to because he thinks he's so bad.
And my progressive friend here, Don, you call women bitches.
No, I do not. You know,
Yes, you do. You just told me a rich woman is a bitch.
I think your listeners are going to agree that you have...
I'm what? I'm what? What am I?
What the hell?
So you, let me ask you something, Don. So you
know exactly what I'm talking about, Phil. I'm not. I am a progressive. I believe in women's rights. I call Boehner a bitch. He's a guy. You don't call a guy a bitch. And when you asked me, well, what is a bitch, I said, it's not a woman. And you pressed and you pressed and you pushed and you pushed. Until finally I said, it's a rich woman. Conservatives are anti-choice and anti-women, so it's really hypocritical for any conservative to be upset with the use of the term bitch. So I don't get why you keep bringing it up. I support women's rights. You and Boehner don't. And he is in favor of war, and he cried like a baby.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Here is Jim on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hey, Phil, how you doing tonight?
Fine.
Okay, well, I have 3 points. One, there's some logic in this. First of all, he's saying he supports women's rights, and he supports uplifting women. But he's using derogatory words to tear them down. So he's calling women bitches.
No.
Okay?
No, I call a rich woman a bitch. That's what I call a bitch.
Okay, so that's very positive. The second point is, by showing compassion and emotion, that's weakness, or is that strength?
Well, he's the guy that is crying. Like,
showing emotion that he actually cares.
Well, what am I supposed to do? I don't know. Isn't this the guy that on the battlefield, he doesn't want to see anybody crying?
And you also, you referred to the war.
Is that right?
Okay. You referred to the war that it was all Republican.
Do you want to see him crying?
This is Obama's war. Isn't this Obama's war in Afghanistan?
No, it was started by Bush.
Okay. And lastly, Obama was in a press conference. He passed it along.
Why did you ask a stupid question like that?
Because
Obama's
I want to explain
war.
Something. You're being a progressive,
Bush.
But I'm showing you.
It was started by Bush.
If you want to show what a bitch is, Obama was just in a press conference, passed it on to Bill Clinton, and then said, I'm keeping my wife waiting, and he left. Isn't that a little bitch?
No, I think you are. They hang up.
Hello? Yeah, he did. I guess he's. I guess he was emotional. 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Don, all I can tell you is good luck, man.
Well, I...
You crying?
No, I'm not crying. But I can tell you this. I came on your program tonight to point out something. That this man... John Boehner, you have been the one that made me cry. I didn't make me cry. I'm fine with what I said about Boehner, but you were unfair in pushing me into a definition of bitch.
In what?
In pushing me into a definition of bitch that I didn't want to. Make.
You know, Don, you're crying right now after calling John Boehner a crying little bitch.
No, I'm not crying. No, I'm not. No, I'm not crying. I'm angry. I'm emotional. I'm not crying.
You made fun of Boehner. You said breaking down.
I hope.
Huh?
I hope. I hope you die.
I hope you die. Man, what a whack job. Don Mixa from the university there talking about Boehner crying like a bitch. And then that guy in Boston in Massachusetts, what was his story? Isn't that a little bitch? And he hung up. And Boehner was crying. I think I'm going to have a good cry right after this break here. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. More of your calls still to come. New York may have a serial killer on the loose. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Are you back, Don?
No.
I wouldn't care.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show, and Don Mixa joining us here as we talk about the John Boehner and John Boehner's crying on 60 Minutes. Are you okay now?
I was fine to begin with. But I'm very angry, and I'll tell you why I'm angry, Phil. Conservatives and the Republicans brought this on themselves. They choose this guy as a leader. And he's going to be the guy that's going to back down the big, bad Obama government machine. And the next thing you know, he's there on television. And he is weeping. You don't like the term, bitch. He's weeping like a grandmother. He's weeping like someone's grandmother.
Well, there's something wrong with grandmothers?
Well, you got to be kidding. Are you telling me that I can't even use that term?
I'm saying, you know, for a progressive, you know, he's weeping like a bitch, he's weeping like a grandmother. Why don't you just say he's weeping like a weak man, if that's what you think he is? You think he's a weak man?
I definitely think he's a weak man.
You think he's a conservative, he's being a little hypocritical?
I absolutely think he's being hypocritical, yes.
And you think as a conservative, the conservative party, the Republicans, all told, whether they're conservative or not, are not well served by this man?
I think they look stupid. And I'll go you one better. The women on The View, they said that Nancy Pelosi is stronger than this guy. Boy, they got that right. Nancy Pelosi compared to John Boehner has the penis.
Well, you can put it in a childish, asinine way like that if you want to, but you're basically saying
that is not childish or asinine, Phil.
It's completely childish and completely asinine. But essentially, I've got your point that a crying man like a John Boehner is a disgrace. 877, he's a disgrace to Republicans and a disgrace to conservatives. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Mark in Syracuse, New York. Go ahead, Mark. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
How you doing, guys? Listen, I just want to show you.
Against my better judgment, I'm going to give the GOP a tip. Get rid of this crying woman because he makes you guys look weak, and you're basically saying the Republican Party has made up a big base.
I got you already. Go ahead, sir.
Guys, bottom line, Republicans and Democrats and everybody else in between, we are all one thing at the very first thing. We are all humans. And if there's no sense of human compassion, all is lost. I could care less what he represents or whatever, anything else. He still shows compassion and human emotion, and he has children. I want that in a political leader. I don't want an emotionally sterile or little, whatever you want to call it. I don't care. You're splitting hairs now with names. What I want is someone that gives a damn about the rest of the people in our nation. And if he cries on TV, so what? He's more of a man because he's more in touch with his feelings. And you're going to ridicule him because he's in touch with his feelings? I could care less.
You're talking about him being more of a man than what? He's more of a man than what? More of a man than me? Because he's going to be up there squirting the field? Because that's what you're saying. You're saying he's more of a man than Don Mixa. I had 500 kids following me out. I 500 kids following me out of class.
So what?
Does that mean you're any better than he is? Are you more of a person? Are you more of a man because you have you got the spotlight, if only for a few moments? I'm glad you felt good about yourself and what you expressed. I am glad. But the reality is, I want a man with compassion. I want a man with understanding. I'm out here plowing driveways right now, making my ends meet. There's a lot of people out there like me that are working hard. We don't have leaders. You're short.
You said you're out making your aunt meet. Is that
no, I'm making my ends meet right now, plowing driveways.
You're
right
making
now.
His ends meet. Yeah. Right. Okay. Good for you, Mark. And you're out, and yes, that's what he's doing, man. And you know what, Mark? It's like when times are tough, we take the jobs that we can find.
I respect this man. He's a working man. And I would ask him, if you're a working man, what are you doing wanting to support a conservative that cries like Boehner.
I want him to be human, first of all, before anything else. Before a Republican, before he's a Democrat, before he's a conservative or progressive, and that's all splitting hairs.
Okay.
I want him to have human compassion for his fellow nation.
Okay, but when Mr. Henry asked me why do I call him a bitch, and I said I meant a rich woman, Mr. Henry called me a liar and a hypocrite, and I got emotional over that, and he laughed at me.
Yeah, I understand. I just think your
okay.
your terminology for him was poor. But other than that, I want that guy to have a heart, people like myself, people like you.
What about that? Yeah, that's a very good point. And
well, if I start to cry,
if you start to cry, I make fun of you, and you don't want to know why?
Why?
Because you were the guy that was making fun of John Boehner.
Well, okay.
It's a pure case of hypocrisy. Don't let that ruin a good thing. We all need to work together.
I want politicians to have a heart too. Those people are progressives who have a heart.
You're getting emotional and you're crying again, and Boehner was a bitch. Do I call you a bitch?
You don't call me.
Mark, thanks for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL is our number here. Do I call you a bitch? If I know what's good for me? If I know what's good for me, Don, is that what you're saying? Do you want to continue this interview? Do you want me to continue this interview?
Yes.
Even though I can clearly tell that you're emotional. Because of the way I treated you, you were lambasting John Boehner for crying. You called him a bitch. I said, as a progressive, isn't that a term you would avoid? And you said, a bitch is a rich woman. And I said, she's still a woman. And that's when you started to cry.
I'm not crying. I want politicians to have a heart, too.
And you let 500 kids out of the classroom, pumped your fist in the air. Right?
Yep.
And you were proud of calling him a bitch. And now when I say that is an anti-woman remark or an anti-female remark...
We are not anti-female. We are progressives, and we're pro.
Wow, man. I mean, I don't believe this.
Why don't you just back off from it?
Doing, man? I mean, you sound like, to be honest with you, Don, you do. You sound like a woman. You sound like a woman that is, like, really, you know, falling apart and doesn't want to have a conversation anymore.
You wouldn't say that if you were standing here.
Maybe I wouldn't. But, I mean, that's what you sound like to me. Like a woman that can't take it and can't have a conversation with a man. Or maybe a man that can't take it and have a conversation with a woman.
You call yourself a woman.
Yeah. I'm calling myself a woman.
Pretty funny.
Well, anything to break the problem here. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Fred in Houston, Texas. Fred, here is Fred in Houston,
hey,
Texas. Fred, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Yes, sir, go ahead.
No, how are you doing tonight? Look, I just...
I'm fine.
You made me think of something. I spent a long time in the service, and I also spent a long time offshore working with men in stressful situations. And I've seen guys saving lives with tears streaming down their faces and in situations they didn't want to be in, and that makes them no one but a better man because they have the emotions to be that man to save lives and to be who it is that they are. And anyone needs to stand something to that effect.
What? I didn't say anything, Bob.
You said John Boehner was a bitch.
Yeah, but then you told me a bitch.
You should never chastise someone for being emotional, especially if they're correct. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. And if you want to call someone a bitch,
what did I do?
That's the definition,
what did I,
right.
What did I do wrong? I said, he's crying like a bitch, because he was. You can't enjoy the murder of Afghans in an illegal war and then pretend to have a heart and start crying in 60 minutes. It's backwards.
If the radio show stresses you out enough to start crying, then you need to pick another job, brother.
Exactly, exactly. Because that's what's... You're doing the exact same thing that happened to Boehner.
There's a difference between me and Boehner.
What?
Not at me. I know what I'm talking about because I've been there and I've earned the right of respect from men. Whether they're crying or not,
do you cry?
You need to learn yourself first.
Do you cry?
I've already heard you sobbing. Look, hey, sir, I don't think that I can do what you're doing for a living, but I guarantee you I can do what I do. So y'all have a good evening, and I hope that everyone that's listening to this learns something. Hurry up, brother, and be a man.
Boehner's a crying bitch.
Well, you know what? You're sitting here, Smith. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. You're bawling like a baby right here, and you're calling Boehner a crying bitch?
I'm just an emotional gentleman.
You're an emotional gentleman, but Boehner's a crying bitch. Well, I think, Don, there's no question that you have, you heard that man.
Yeah, I was crying.
And you couldn't even say what you wanted to say about the needless murder of Afghans in an illegal war without blubbering through it.
Where's that blubber?
What? See, now I can't even understand you.
I said, of course I blubbered through it. Because he was talking about the Afghan war. Oh, God, I hope you die painful. I hope you die with pain, with blood in your mouth.
Wow. Wow. What'd he say? I hope you die with blood in your mouth. Man. I think you call him back. Him now. Did I hear what I thought you said?
Sorry, but I was emotional. Can I have a Kleenex?
Get him out of here. Get him out of here before I die laughing. Well, a school defends using duct tape to restrain a 4-year-old child. To imagine them having to even defend that. Anyone would be logically drawn to the use of duct tape. Well, I'm kidding. Anyway, that's coming up. A man claims Four Loko caused him to assault and rob a ninth grader. I've heard some people saying that Four Loko has given them spiritual visions. Plus, we'll tell you the year's top 10 videos on YouTube. PhilHenryShow.com, of course, is your online presence for the Phil Henry Show, for podcasts, for our KFI Saturday show, for our video cast. Right now, we have live streaming video of the show, and for our affiliate list, as well as our blogging, as well as our comments from our subscribers. It's all there at PhilHenryShow.com. That's PhilHenryShow.com. You all right, Don?
No, I feel bad. I got a stomach ache.
Phil Henry.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
This poor woman,
yeah.
If you saw Nancy Pelosi...
When our kids... spend so much of their time each day.
Yeah, that cheat is there. They do what they do. They cheat.
I am in shock.
Boy,
I didn't even know.
Headache.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And
what a headache.
Who's talking entertainment show that knows what it's talking about? 877-876-PHIL and online at philhenryshow.com. We go in places no other talk show can go. Doing things no other talk show can do. Walking on the edge, like a snail crawling along the edge of a straight razor. In the words of my man,
boy, what a headache,
Colonel Kurtz. 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget philhenryshow.com. The Jets strength coach is in hot water for intentionally tripping a Miami player. New York may have a serial killer on the loose. Plus, American internet use has caught up with television use. That is very significant. 877-876-PHIL. A lot of people are going online to watch TV. A lot of people are going to Hulu, or what do you do, bud?
Yeah, I've done Hulu. No, man, Hulu.
Hulu? You do that?
Well, I thought it was Hulu, but...
Well, you know what, bud? You must know that it's Hulu, because if you thought it was Hula, you'd be looking for a Hula, and you would never get over to Hulu, or whatever the hell. So...
Yeah, get all upset about it. You gotta start crying.
Yeah, man, what do you... Don't cry like that Don Mixon guy. Oh,
okay, you know.
Yeah, he was going... I thought he's gonna gag up or something.
Yeah, speaking of gagging up, man.
Yeah, your face, man.
So in any event,
we even talking about gag up on my face.
Just enough with the Don Mixa impressions. All right, I understand he was very emotional.
Yeah, he's all going
We're gonna do an Ironside about it too.
You mean an Iron Swine?
Yeah.
All right, so we got an Iron Swine to look forward to. What's it going to be? What's it going to be about?
It's going to be about going to find John Boehner and Don Mixon so they don't cry.
Yeah, you're going to keep them from crying.
Okay. You guys are cracking me up. All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And the first story we want to get to here tonight is about this situation. Where the hell is the damn jet story, man? I just had the damn thing. Well, we're going to talk about the New York Jets ball game yesterday in which that coach tripped the player. Jets strength coach Sal Alassi fined, suspended without pay for the rest of the season. Zach Thomas alleges it was not a rogue act, but in point of fact was a plot or a plan. I'm sure I haven't heard what Zach Thomas has to say, but... the story here, the Jets announced strength and conditioning coach Sal Alassi, who tripped a Miami player during Sunday's loss, has been suspended without pay for the rest of the season and fined an additional $25,000. That's a hell of a hit, man. And if you saw the trip, the Miami player was running down the sideline. The Miami player was out of bounds, but that doesn't matter. I mean, Alassi stuck his knee out, sort of hitting him with the knee and the foot. His suspension begins immediately. He's not permitted to have access to the team facility or interact. The Jets were in contact with the league office, but general manager Mike Tannenbaum said the punishment was decided on by the Jets. So Alassi was caught on camera bending his knee on a third quarter punt from the sideline to trip up gunner Nolan Carroll as he was racing past. They call him a gunner, a guy who is just basically a special teams player running to get the ball carrier. A line of players and staffers stood close to the sideline, but both Tannenbaum and Coach Rex Ryan said positioning players close to the sideline on such plays is not something they coach. Tannenbaum said that was among the topics discussed with the league. Tannenbaum said he was briefed on Alassi's actions after the game and was floored. Who's this guy?
This is a guy named Mike Tannenbaum. He's a general manager of the New York Jets.
Of the New York Jets, okay. So Tannenbaum said he was floored. And Ryan said they don't position players close to the sideline. So they discussed this on this kickoff. Special teams play on kickoffs, on punts, where you're having a lot of players at a high rate of speed racing downfield looking to tackle the opponent or racing upfield to try to get some blocks going. The number two strength and conditioning coach, Brian Dermody, will take over in Alassi's stead. Alassi was notified of his punishment earlier this evening in what Tannenbaum called a quick conversation. The team hasn't yet made a decision if Alassi will be allowed back on the sideline in 2011. Sal feels terrible for what he did, and he took ownership, which I respect, Tannenbaum said. And yet, it's something we take very seriously here. We're extremely disappointed in what he did. There's no place in the game for that, and he knows that, and it's our job to hold him accountable. Here is what Alassi had to say, or is this in the tape? Well, here's NFL announcers reacting to the tripping incident. Here is what happened during the play.
An injured Dolphin on the play is Nolan Carroll. He is on the Jets sideline. Boy, it looked like he got tripped by one of the members of the Jets staff. Well, this is just uncalled for in the NFL. Watch the knee here being stuck out on purpose to trip up Nolan Carroll. Not sure who that person is, but they should be ashamed of themselves for that type of action. That has no place in any athletic event.
I apologize, but I can't tell you who those announcers are. Jeff Darlington of the Miami Herald got post-game reaction from Dolphin linebacker Carlos Dansby.
Oh, that's dirty. That is so dirty, man. That is dirty, man. Come on, man. That need to be on Monday night. Come on, man. Hey, check this picture out. Freeze frame it. Come on, man. It's sad, bro.
What is sad?
I don't know. But I'm real. This is four games, rest of the season. Suspend him, man. Get him up out of there.
He ain't fired. He's assistant coach.
He got to go. You got to go, man. It's bringing the whole organization down, man. That's sad, man. You don't do nothing like that.
All right, here is Dolphin linebacker Channing Crowder, who weighs in on the trip.
Yeah, that cheat is there. They do what they do. They cheat and they talk junk and they, you know, do all that stuff. But we beat the hell out of them today, so they can trip all the people they want to. I wish they'd have tripped me. I broke that old man's leg.
In an interview on a local Miami sports station, former Miami Dolphin linebacker Zach Thomas accused the New York Jets on Tuesday of intentionally creating a human wall to obstruct opponents that they may have that may have been a factor in the illegal tripping of Miami's Nolan Carroll on Sunday.
There's more to this story, you know, than what everybody's looking at this guy. I mean, they had to be ordered to stand there because they're foot to foot. There's four of them side to side on the edge of the coach's zone. And they're only out there to restrict the space of the gunner, who is Nolan Carroll. But there's more to it, because I'm telling you, the only thing he did wrong was intentionally put that knee out there. If he just stood there would have never been a problem, even if the guy got tripped. But there's more to this. He was ordered to stand there because no one's foot to foot on the sideline, especially out in the coach's zone.
All right, so, you know, you can hear what Zach Thomas is saying. You heard the reaction of the Dolphins, and you heard that Rex Ryan and Miles Tannenbaum said, quote, positioning players close to the sideline on such plays is not something they coach. But there was a line of players and staffers close to the sideline. So you heard what Zach Thomas said there in the radio interview, said that they had to have been ordered to do that. Coach Rex Ryan of the New York Jets denied on Monday that he instructed his employees to obstruct his employees. I got to tell you, I've never in my life seen such lousy writing. His employees now. Generally what it's called is the Jet staff or his coaches or coaches and staff. Because they don't work for him, they work for the Jets. Anyway, he has never instructed his employees, like they work at Walmart, to obstruct Carroll. And Jets special team coach Mike Westhoff on Tuesday also denied playing a role in the incident. Number one, I did not instruct anyone, Westhoff said in a statement to something. I don't know what PFT is supposed to mean. I guess it's a website. Number two, I was not aware. With all of the people on the sidelines, it would be inconsequential, and I would not be involved in any way, shape, or form. So, now who got caught? Oh, it was the Patriots.
About what?
The guys that got fined for cheating, for filming?
Yeah, I was a Patriot.
Well, let's face it. I mean, these guys are going to do whatever it takes to win. And as you've heard it said so many times, and sometimes, you know, they get caught with their hand in the cookie jar. I mean, if you play sports, and I played competitive sports, as a lot of men listening did, and a lot of women, you know full well, man, that you try to take advantage of the rules whenever you can. You try to skirt the rules whenever you can. You know, even in something as simple as baseball, where you're supposed to be inside the coach's box. You're coaching a runner at third or first. You're outside of that box. You make the umpire get you back into the box. All kinds of things happen. And
What are you, like, in Major League Baseball or something?
No, I wasn't in Major League Baseball.
Well, you're talking about, you know all about it.
What are you guys talking about anyway?
All about being in a coach's box and stuff. You don't even think about it.
I'm just telling you, man, like in high school, okay?
Yeah, but you weren't, like, on the Dodgers or something.
Did I say I was on the Dodgers? I said, when you're playing competitive, I know what's bugging you guys. You never played any competitive sports.
Yeah, I did. I played when they had the baseball. I didn't get picked, but I played with the other guys.
When they played baseball, you didn't get picked, but you played with the other guys.
Yeah, the guys that didn't get picked.
Oh, okay. How about you?
What do you mean, how about me? I had a bad back. And everything. And
you mean you were fat?
Yeah.
All right, 877, yeah, bad back. 877-876-PHIL here, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, here's a related football story. As long as we were talking about, I don't know what their problem is with the Jets. I guess they tripped the guy, they tripped the guy. What the hell? Snellville, Georgia, youth football coach's racist ramblings on Facebook have created a rift in a posh metro Atlanta community, with angry parents promising to show up and oust all of the Brockwood Football Association leaders in an election showdown this week. What is the Brockwood Football Association? Sounds like a bunch of freaking hillbillies, doesn't it?
Yeah. It sounds like some junior thing or something.
What do you mean, posh? The coach, Frank Samuelson, who led a team of 10-year-olds in the Brockwood Football Association this fall, well, ain't you something, created the upheaval when he made a series of posts in October that described South Asians as red dots and Hispanics as beaners and mocked other ethnic groups and women. Typical of Samuelson's rants was this entry, misspellings included. I was dining in an Asian buffet today, big surprise, and I heard this morning how Asian students are supposedly so much smarter than American kids. Well, anybody that's used an iPhone.
Yeah, you're trying to defend a guy. He's an idiot.
I'm not defending him, man. You ever tried texting with an, it's, you know.
Oh, no. That he don't even know how to spell.
All right, fine. He doesn't know how to spell.
What are you defending a guy for? He's a racism.
Oh, is he a racism? You know, you might want to get the words right, man. He's a racist? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, but you're defending him. He don't know how to spell. He's a racist.
Okay, man, I get you. God.
Yeah, you know which side of the bread, where your butter is.
Yeah, okay, man, I'll know where my butter is on which side of the bread. Wow, what an idiot.
What?
Well, it's which side of the bread the butter's on.
Yeah.
Typical of Samuelson's rants was this entry, misspellings included. What are you pointing at, man? I see it.
Yeah, you went supposedly.
I know he did. Students are supposedly so much smarter than American kids. My personal observation is that those fish heads still eat with chopsticks. It took Western ingenuity to invent the fork. I'm just saying. Boy, there's one of the most irritating phrases that has been worked into everything by every unoriginal, stale-thinking person. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying, though.
What, are you doing that on purpose to piss me off?
No, I'm sorry.
In any event, he says they ain't that friggin' smart. What's the story with you, Samuelson? You got 10-year-old children that you coach. You go on Facebook like the dumbass that you are. You publicly post these things. Racist? Well, let's just say that they are ethnically insensitive. I suppose, yes, racist in the fact that you're knocking Asians in general. I don't know, but you sound like an idiot, and you've got 10-year-olds in your charge, and you got the Brockwood Football Association, and don't you realize that how prestigious and groovy they are? You all sound like a bunch of dumbasses to me, every last one of you.
Yeah, but the Brockwood Football Association didn't do nothing wrong.
Dunn didn't do nothing wrong?
You sound like a hillbilly too, man.
They didn't do anything wrong.
They sound like imbeciles, all of them. The Brockwood Football Association. They're 10-year-old kids. They ought to be in a sandlot. They ought to be with a helmet and some ripped jeans, and then maybe they qualify to play in an organized league. While admitting his actions were wrong, Samuelson doesn't think parents should hold the entire board responsible for them by ousting the group, and said outsiders didn't understand the context of the post. Listen, stupid, you're working with children. What do you mean they're supposed to understand the context? What are you, David Letterman? Is it in poor taste? Sure. But it was not intended to be printed out and break laws by sticking it on other people's windshields, said Samuelson. Dude, people are going to see this stuff. It's going to be seen by members of the Brockwood Football Association. He's apologized. He stepped down as a board member, and he's hired an attorney because there could be a movie deal. I mean, he may get sued. Another of his postings, which Samuelson said represented inside jokes between friends, they ain't that inside, man, if you're putting it on Facebook, you idiot!
That they don't understand that.
Don't understand that? Will you guys finally figure something out? When you send an email, when you put it on Facebook, when you put it on Twitter, it ain't inside, and there ain't nobody supposed to understand the context, and there isn't some, you know, you're not defended by anybody or anything. If you send an email and it has one recipient, one, not a mass emailing, but one recipient, then here's what I would say.
I would say you are entitled to your privacy, and if that son of a bitch sends that stuff out and around to a lot of people, then I think they violated some. I think that they are civilly liable, and but I still say you got to watch what you're putting into your emails.
What if it's like your best friend?
If you trust the person enough, and you're going to put some stuff in there that you feel is, you know, would be very very sensitive to the public eye, then, you know, what is it, man? You're taking your rear end in your own hands. What do you want me to tell you? You know?
Yeah, but I mean, the guy's a friend of yours. You're not going to expect that guy going to do anything.
Listen, man, are you an idiot or something? Do you?
No, I'm not an idiot.
All right. Well, then, if you send something to a friend of yours and your friend decides to turn around and print it for all the world, then I guess you misjudged that guy, didn't you?
No, that guy, he's a liar and everything.
You misjudged him. Take responsibility. You.
Yeah, but he did it too.
All right, he might have done it. You go ahead and sue him, but I'm telling you, you can sue the hell out of the guy. The damage is done. What the hell? Where do people think we're living these days, man? I mean, they can tap into anything. And a lot of these dumbasses using company email. Oh, baby.
Yeah, I'll never do that.
Well, good, man. You use a company computer, and you're using company email, and you're on Twitter, and you're on Facebook, and you're sending this and that back and forth to your friends. You know they're reading it, and they have every right to read it. Is it weird? Yeah. Is it? I don't know. We live in the day and age of Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, and Michael Moore wants to bail this guy out of prison because he thinks this guy is some kind of a super world patriot. We're living in the day and age, man, where nothing is secret. Nothing. Not even diplomatic cables that represent the dealings of the American people and are highly confidential, that's not even respected any longer. And you got an American citizen, fat-ass Moore, who wants to bail this guy out of jail because he thinks it's just so wonderful. This stupid-ass, this Assange, he don't even know what he's got. He got sent a whole bunch of stuff. He's picking through it. He reminds me of some guy, an archaeologist, picking through the mummy's tomb, not even knowing what the hell it is he's digging into until the thing puts its mummified hand around his throat.
You think that that's just going to happen?
What?
Well, like, you don't think a mummy or anything.
Are you an idiot or something? Now, what do you mean a mummy?
That's what you said.
I'm making a comparison. Another of his postings, which Samuelson said represented inside jokes between friends, how to solve illegal immigration. Arrest the 30 million illegals that are here first, have them build a huge brick wall across the border. Those guys do great brick work, and make them build it from the Mexican side of the border. Mount 50 caliber machine guns across the top of the thing, and they shoot anybody who tries to climb over. He said that represented an inside joke. But it is an inside joke, so I guess I wouldn't understand why it's funny. The Brockwood Football Association is one in a network of youth sports organizations across Metro Atlanta that doesn't know how to hire their coaches, doesn't know a damn thing about anything. They got a bunch of 10-year-olds running around. They provide recreation for thousands of kids. Bullcrap. It's the same thing, man. They probably got these kids are trying out for trying out to be on the team. The Brockwood Football Association has brought in $1.14 million in gross receipts since 2005. Tax records show. Samuelson served as a board vice president for the diverse organization whose participants are 50% minority. Well, that's fantastic. So he's a good man to have on your board, some guy that's making Asian jokes and dothead jokes. American internet usage is caught up with TV use, plus there may be a serial killer on the loose in New York. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back. Our website, philhenryshow.com. Check out our live streaming video of the show and live streaming audio of the show. And it's not exactly a Christmas present, but coming up next month, we're going to have extra cramra. What was I saying?
You're going to have extra cram.
Yeah, you're going to cram it in.
We're going to have extra cameras in the studio.
Oh, yeah.
Extra cameras for our different camera views here in our video cast. And if you go over to our website right now, you can pick up the Best Of series, our classic Best Of CDs. We have some available, and we are selling them, brother. Just click shop there in our menu bar. Four bodies in the New York area, and New York police now are eyeing a serial killer. And I, you know what? I'm tempted to have back on our good friend, Dr. Stone.
Yeah, you we should have him back.
We ought to bring back Crime Night, don't you think?
I like it.
Because he'd have a lot to say about this. A serial killer may have abandoned four bodies, each apparently dumped from a vehicle along a desolate, windswept stretch of highway not far from Long Island's Jones Beach, according to police. Police found the badly decomposed remains just feet from the roadway near Cedar Beach as they searched for a missing prostitute last known to be headed to Fire Island, according to Suffolk County Police Commissioner Richard Dormer. At least two of the bodies are female, but authorities haven't determined the gender of the other two. Investigators were taking DNA samples and examining dental records to try to identify them. We're looking at that we could have a serial killer. The beach is about 3 miles from where the missing women from where the missing woman was headed when she disappeared on May the 1st. Wow. But Dormer said there was no indication yet that hers was one of the four bodies. Dormer said the four appeared to have been killed elsewhere and then brought to the site, a strip of land less than 1,000 yards wide that divides the Great South Bay from the Atlantic Ocean. The remains were decomposed. They appear to have been dumped over an 18-month period.
That's where a serial killer going to do it. Yeah, they got like a place where they keep bodies?
They do. They have places, you know, where they go back and it's kind of weird. It's really weird, in fact. They go back and they, like, relive the crime. So, and the police, of course, with modern DNA technology, like we were talking, man, it's sometimes I'm not saying it's a slam dunk, but it's pretty fast sometimes the way they solve these serial murders now. And that's good, you know. The Jersey City police identified the missing prostitute as 24-year-old Shannon Gilbert of Jersey City. Dormer said Gilbert worked as a prostitute and arranged through Craigslist to meet clients on Fire Island, and had met, rather, a client on Fire Island or was planning to. The popular summertime vacation resort of Fire Island is actually a 30-mile strip of villages located just east of Cedar Beach. While some parts of Western Fire Island are accessible by motor vehicle, most visitors travel there by ferry. Police officers returned to the scene on Tuesday with a cadaver dog searching the area for additional bodies. Despite a howling wind, temperatures in the low 20s, and a coating of snow on the ground, the dog would still be able to do his work, according to police. He said the search of the vast remote place, this vast remote area, could take days longer. So, you know, I just think that police these days have the DNA breakthrough is that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're going to find out something, though, how it's wrong, you know.
What are you talking about?
I just think they're going to find out, like, they're going to be a lawyer or something who's going to say one day, you know, this is wrong, and here's what's wrong with it, and it'll mess everything up, you know.
Really? I mean, it does seem to be a magic bullet, doesn't it?
Well, what do you mean? They're going to say that it isn't, that it's not people's DNA or something?
No, man, I'm saying they're going to say that they're reading it wrong, or I'll bet you anything there'll be a scandal.
Well, I don't know, man. Well, why do you say that? Because it's going too perfect? Is that it?
No, I just think, you know, there's going to be a lawyer somewhere who's going to say, wait a minute, you know, all these cases that they freed all these guys, or they put people in prison, the DNA, that's wrong, you know?
I don't know, man. You got to base that on something. You're just saying, oh, I just think it's going to happen, you know?
Well, I mean, look. They always make mistakes. Everybody knows that. How do they know they're reading the DNA right?
How do they know they're reading the DNA right?
What are you talking about, man? A doctor, they know how to read it.
What do you mean? How do they know?
Well, look, man, I can't have this discussion. I think I hear what you're saying, that, you know, maybe they don't have the science right yet. And
yeah, how do they know they're even reading it right?
I doubt seriously if they would be allowing this into a court of law as evidence if they hadn't looked at it long and hard to make sure that it wasn't point of fact and an identifier of a human being. I mean, they're not just, you know, this, it took years. for them to rely on DNA science enough to say, okay, we can bring this into a court of law. You know, so I don't know.
You're just making up. You're just making up stuff to say stuff.
What are you talking about?
You just want to be like a co-host and everything and go, oh, hey, here's what I think.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not at all, man. I'm talking about DNA.
Now, you're all, hey, Phil, here's my idea about everything.
Shut up, man.
All right, okay. Take it easy. 20-year-old arrested in texting while driving death of elderly pedestrian. A 20-year-old Tahunga woman, this is in Glendale, California, has been arrested on suspicion of gross vehicular manslaughter after allegedly running a stop sign and killing an elderly pedestrian while texting on her stupid cell phone. Let that be a lesson to you. After a three-month investigation into the accident, Annie Voskanian was taken into custody at her home this morning. According to Glendale police, she probably just dropped a brick, man. According to police, Voskanian was headed west on California Avenue about 6:37 in the evening on September the 15th. When she allegedly failed to yield at the four-way stop at Columbus Avenue and hit 80-year-old Misak Ranjbar as he was in a crosswalk. After being thrown into the air, Misak Ranjbar landed on the pavement and Voskanian stopped shortly after the collision to remain at the scene. Misak Ranjbar was taken to Los Angeles County USC Medical Center where he died of head trauma, according to coroner's officials. Investigators have since determined that Voskanian made no attempt to slow down and that she had been texting on her cell phone at the time of the accident. And that's not easy, that's not hard to find out.
How do you find that out?
Because they know what the phone was doing. They know that at that moment the phone had this kind of activity going on. Or she might have sent the text right at the instant that this man was hit, you know?
Yeah, they go on the phone, man. It's got all that information.
Yeah, but they don't know that she was writing on it.
Yes, they do, bud. What is it with you, man? Everything.
He's always doing that.
Everything I say, you got a question. Yes, they do.
How do they know that?
Because if you're sitting there and you're pushing buttons, the phone has a record of that event. It's called an event, and the computer event shows that at that moment, at 6:03 and 22 and a half nanoseconds, boop, you hit this letter on your phone. Okay? Because the phone, in the computer in the phone shows which event is taking place when, and it knows when the phone's turned off, and it knows when the phone's turned on, and it knows when the phone was activated doing this, that. Okay?
Yeah, you have to get all spastic about it.
I don't like you using spastic. That's number one. And number two, every time I read something, how do you know they do that? How do you know they do that?
Hey, man, how do I even know you're here, man?
I could slug you. Then you'd know.
I wish you would.
All right, will you come on? How do they do this? And how do they do that? And how do they do that now, man?
If you don't ask questions, you're never going to find out nothing.
You're absolutely right about that. But you know what? Here's another one. If you just keep your ears open, man, long enough, you may hear the answer. The hell is that? What is that?
My dinner.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God, it's pizza juice.
Pizza juice on my foot?
Well, why are you in bare feet?
Because I took my shoe. Wow. Go get a rag and wipe it off. And I want you to wipe my foot off. I'm kidding.
God.
Get me a rag. Investigators have since determined that Voskanian made no attempt to slow down and that she'd been texting on her phone. Family members say Ranjbar often walked around the neighborhood for exercise. Voskanian was arraigned Tuesday afternoon. Tuesday afternoon.
I'm just beginning to see.
Yeah, I'm just beginning to see, all right. And it don't look too clear from here, man. The bars are blocking the view. She's inside. Now, I don't know how old this is. She's 20 years of age. Texting while driving. Dig that. So it'll happen. It'll happen. Believe me. I know you think you're paying attention. I know you think, oh, I'll glance up. I'll keep glancing up. No. I won't do it here and I won't do it. I know you think all of these things, but if you're in an emotional frame of mind and you're pissed off or you really have to get this message out and you're driving because you're trying to save time, you will glance up and you will, too late, see a car or a person. Don't do it. Friend of mine got hit on the freeway by some stupid ass texting. She got hit from behind with her two kids. Car was totaled. They had to cut her out of the car. The kids are fine. She was fine. She was in the hospital though for like 3 weeks. Had serious lacerations. I think they had to go in and go in internally and stitch her up a little bit. The kids were bruised, but they were all right. But the car was completely totaled. She was hit at full speed from behind by some jackass texting on like the Pasadena freeway in rush hour.
Damn.
Americans are now spending as much time using the internet as they watch television, and the amount of time spent on the internet has increased 121% over the last 5 years, according to a survey published Monday by Forrester Research. That means they're watching their television on the internet. That means they're listening to their radio on the internet. That means they're watching their movies on the internet. That means they're downloading Phil Hendry audio on the internet at philhendryshow.com.
That means they're watching the Phil Hendry video task
on the internet. While people younger than 30 years old have spent more time with the internet than television for several years, Forrester's survey shows that this is the first year that people in older age groups are also doing so. The amount of time spent on the internet for personal uses tails off among older groups, ranging from about 12 hours a week for adults under 30 to about 8 hours for people over 66 years of age. You know, if you think about that, that ain't a big difference, man. 12 hours for people under 30, 8 hours for people who are 66 years old. Maybe it's because the old people are sleeping.
Yeah, but you know, old people, man, they don't sleep as much.
That's true. That's true. So you old folks better get your internet viewing up because you don't have any excuse, man. You ain't sleeping. At first glance, this seems like further evidence of the much ballyhooed, if statistically suspect, trend of cord cutting, where people transition from watching television to streaming online video. Pay TV subscriptions in the United States are down this year. Pay TV subscriptions. In addition, wireless carriers like Verizon and Sprint have been encouraging the idea that faster new wireless networks could serve as a substitute for landline broadband services. So cable companies that bundle broadband access with cable television service are seeing threats on multiple fronts. Good. Good. Let that be a lesson to you for that crap service you provide, the arrogance with which you provide it, and so forth. Forrester's survey shows a significant increase in the number of people using the internet to watch streaming video. 33% of adults surveyed this year said they use the internet to watch video, up from 18% 3 years ago. One third. Yet the amount of time people spend with their television remains relatively stable as they hug it and kiss it and squeeze it and hunch it. By contrast, the survey found that people were spending significantly less time reading printed newspapers and magazines. Can they read? Maybe. Maybe not. The rise of the internet is not necessarily leading to a drop in television consumption because the internet, and particularly the mobile internet, simply creates more opportunities for people to connect and consume media. So they're watching television product, but it is a different, what do we call it?
Delivery device.
Different delivery device, exactly. Until recently, the supermarket checkout aisle was not seen as a prime opportunity for media consumption. Huh? Anyway, but the survey did not address directly a vital question, whether people who are watching streaming video on their television consider themselves to be watching TV or using the internet. Very good question. What do you say if you're watching Phil Hendry right now on a streaming video thing?
I'm watching Phil Hendry on a video.
Yeah, that's what I'd say.
If I asked you and I said, what are you doing right now?
I'm watching Phil Hendry on a video.
I wonder how they write that down.
Man, they say, are you watching television?
No, I'm not watching television. I'm watching an internet video.
Internet video? Okay.
That's what I'd say, but
I still got pizza juice on my foot.
What do you want me to do? Wipe it off?
Yes, wipe it off.
Ooh.
What are you doing sniffing my toe?
I want to know whether if this was mine or with the pepperoni.
It was yours.
Don't sniff my foot to figure that out. All right, we'll be back. McDonald's CEO Jim Skinner rails against the food police after legislation goes after Happy Meals. Jim Skinner, he's, you know, man, that's my bread and butter. Excuse the line. PhilHendryShow.com. We'll be right back.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, here are the television ratings for last night. How I Met Your Mother, number one, CBS. CBS continues to just beat the brains out of NBC, Fox, ABC, and the CW, and Yo Mama 2. A full night of original episodes gave CBS an easy rating win. On Monday night, The Sing-Off continued to do pretty well for NBC, but it blew next to the monumental monstrosity that am Rules of Engagement and How I Met Your Mudda. And, of course, on Fox, House. And on ABC, the ever-not-popular Skating with the Stars. How long before they give up on that dog?
They're finally Skating with the Star. What's wrong with that?
Oh, God. Oh, God, man. How many times am I going to look at them dancing?
They're not dancing or skating.
Who gives a crap about skating? Let me tell you something about skating. Skating's great. Skating is something they do in hockey. They figure skate. But, you know, it's still a fairly regional sport, man. Not everybody goes out and skates. You know, I ain't skating. You see any skating going on around here?
That's on account of we're down at the ocean.
Yeah, we're down at the ocean in California. It ain't no skating here, man. How about Surfing with the Stars?
No, I love that, man.
That'd be funnier than hell, man. You see that?
Yeah, are you kidding me? They'd break their ass out there.
I'd love that. Surfing with the Stars. Have them do something athletic like that. Let's see them. Anyway, take them out to the North Shore in Hawaii. Take them down there to Oahu. Stick their ass on the North Shore. Stick them right in the barrel of one of those big-ass pipeline waves. And watch the fun begin.
Man, you killed somebody.
Yeah. I laughed my ass off, man. You see one of those guys? All of a sudden, you just see a body and a board, and that's it. Just wham.
Yeah, there goes Justin Bieber.
God, man. All right, anyway, 8 o'clock, CBS How I Met Your Moms, NBC The Sing-Off, I'll bet, Fox House, ABC Skating with Your Star, and CW The Vampire Diaries, 9 p.m. CBS, 2.5-inch men, I mean 2.5 men, and Mike and Molly, NBC, The Sing-Off. Now, let's see, 2.5 men had 14.4 million, Mike and Molly, 12.5. So Mike and Molly is holding, they're holding all of the 2.5 men audience except for like 2 million. And 2.5 men builds on the 8 o'clock hour. 2.5 men's a monster, man. God, Charlie Sheen, good for you, dude. I mean, I guess. I know, you weird ass. But they grab 4 million more viewers at 9 o'clock. NBC's Sing-Off, they basically hold the 9 million. Oh, that's the same show, Sing-Off. So they hold their audience hour to hour. Fox's Lie to Me, a rerun. That's great. 6 million. ABC's Mariah Carey, Merry Christmas to Me. I mean, Merry Christmas to You. She picked up 1 million over Skating with the Stars. And then The Vampire Diaries, a rerun, 1.2 million. Then we move into the 10 o'clock hour. There goes CBS again with Hawaii 5-0, 11 million, which is actually second to 2.5 men. So 11 million viewers of Hawaii 5-0. ABC's Castle, 5.5 million viewers. So they just suck. And NBC Chase, 4.6 million. Oh, man, at Chase, they just lose everything from The Sing-Off. I wonder what it is about, not what it is about CBS, you know, but what is it about the other networks that they can't come out? What is wrong with NBC is the big question. I have to tell you, they can fire all the executives they want, the Jeff Zuckers of the world. They can do whatever the hell they want. But what is it all of a sudden with a network that brought us Seinfeld, Frasier, Friends? I mean, these were three kick-ass shows, and they can't find a comedy for love or money, man.
I don't know. They don't know dearly. They should have a dance show.
No, man. I only got too many dance shows.
Don't NBC have one of them dance shows, don't they?
I think they are. I don't know. They got Donald Trump, but...
They got Donald Trump, but they don't have a dance show. Mike and Molly remains the highest-rated new show on television. Now, why did everybody was saying that it sucked or that it was no good or something?
Well, I think they said they didn't like the show, but people is watching it, you know.
NBC's 30 Rock was nominated for Best Comedy for the Golden Globes, but nobody watches that show. See, that's the another thing about television that is admirable, just like film. It's admirable, just like books. It's admirable. But you'll never see that happen in radio because radio doesn't understand... See, nobody in radio, nobody that runs a radio station, no one that owns a radio company understands anything about what we do being, you know, like art. They just, So here's a show, NBC, no one watches it, but it got nominated for a Golden Globe. So that's kind of nice. And movies are like that. But in radio, if nobody listens to the show, then it's a turd, and they throw it away, and which I guess they should, but at least give them an award. Give them more money. Our show produced by Jason Rance, technical director Charles Wagon, our associate producer Dan Northcraft. Remember, PhilHenryShow.com for all your Phil Henry Show needs. Go get a best of CD.
Bruh. Phil Henry.